Hi, and welcome to the First Scotland 2050 podcast with me, Barry Cunning.
And me, Owen Thompson.
So, as this is our first podcast, I suppose our opening gambit really had to be what is Scotland 2050, what it's about and why we're doing this.
Of course, yeah, I think that's critical.
But before we do that, should we do some brief introduction so people who know who we are?
Yeah, great idea. I'm happy to go first. And I suppose I've always been political. I grew up in politics. I've been a political family, really. Delivered my first leaflets about 7 years old and joined the SNP as a junior member back around, oh, must have been sort of 1991, 92 time. But certainly never thought I'd end up where I did, standing for election, let alone ending up in the Parliament. So kinda, this journey of kind of winning elections in the council in 2005, 7, 12, and then in the Parliament and winning in 2015 and 19. Been a councillor, council leader, Causal Group secretary, SNP local government convener, MP chief whip, and then latterly a privy councillor. So not bad for somebody who, when first asked to stand, said, no way, not a chance.
Always the way when it comes to politics, isn't it? Well, I mean, I think that's real interesting. And again, to my background, as you know, because you and I have known each other for a number of years, I stood for the Scottish Labour Party back in 2016, which to me seems like a lifetime ago, for the wonderful Scottish Parliament constituency of Ettrick, Roxburgh and Berwickshire. You could argue, say, that I took one for the team. You know, as a first candidate, I was up against three established members of the Scottish Parliament.
Who was that?
So it was John Lamont from the Conservative Party, Paul Wheelhouse from Scottish National Party and Jim Hume from the Liberal Democrats.
Some big names there. I mean, those are a number of folk who a lot of experience. Yep. Who, I mean, I have to say, I mean, you were certainly up against it in that. And I mean, you have to respect. I mean, I have respect for anyone who's willing to put themselves forward for election. I think it's difficult. I mean, and you don't have to agree with somebody to respect the decision to stand. But I have to say, even more so perhaps when without being mean, I think the chances were slim in that contest. So fair play for taking that.
I think it's fair to say that I got maybe the sympathy vote from some people. I mean, we campaigned like it was a wonderful seat. It was my first time. It was a great experience. Loved every minute of it. If I one of the fondest memories I have is my grand, who sadly passed away back in 2018, was seeing me on the news at the count. And I think at the time we were the last count in the country. So, you know, that was a great experience. And I think for anybody listening to this podcast, this session, who's interested in being a parliamentary candidate, should absolutely go for it. Don't let anything put you off. Doesn't matter about your background. If you want to be an MP, MSP, councillor, by all means, just give it a shot. Get it out of there.
We both
have a chance of parliament experience.
Anything can happen in politics, and
absolutely.
Often does.
As we know from July the 4th, but that'll be for a different podcast.
Indeed,
I think
indeed.
A different theme there. So, for that, I got a job in London, and that's where you and I met at Parliament. I think that was off the new intake in 2015.
Yeah.
Before your chief whip days, and then subsequently moved back to Scotland and started Pentland Communications in 2018, and the rest is, well, history.
Oh, hang on, I thought you were going to say politics for a minute there.
That's a really good one, and maybe we should get Rory Shearer and Alistair Campbell on the podcast at some point. But I think to provide some context and background to Scotland 2050, it's no secret that politically we've wanted two different parties, my case Labour, your case SNP, and we did joke about could our podcast say we're red, beige, yellow, but I don't quite know what colour that would be if it was mixed and put together. I don't think I want to know what that colour could be. But the point here is, you know, we might approach things differently, engage in the realities of politics, but what we both want is what is the best for Scotland, irrespective of party politics.
No, of course, and I think that is the thing. I mean, when we started sort of having conversations and grabbing a beer and just sort of chewing the fat, it was looking at some of these big picture ideas. And when you take the politics out of the conversation, and I mean, that's where you and I often try to do it. We know that we disagree and stuff, but it doesn't stop us having a sort of vision for what could be possible and
Absolutely.
What might be possible. And actually creating a scenario where you can have those conversations, much more in-depth conversations without just that, the back and forward and the sort of trying to work out how to actually achieve these goals. And I mean, ultimately, we both agree. I mean, vast majority of anyone who's involved in frontline politics, they want to make things better. Different ideas about how
Absolutely.
To do that, but they want to make things better.
Yep.
And I think we want to see 2050, Scotland 2050, as a forum where we can start to have some of these big discussions.
Absolutely. Get a discussion, get it kicked off. And I think for me, the key thing is when you take the politics out of the conversation, you said there, there is room to have that discussion about, well, where do we want to be by 2050? You know, 2050, a lot of things are going to be different. You know, a lot of things are happening just now. What kind of country we want to see come forward? And there's a lot of things that we can kind of touch base on that. But essentially, you know, it's about having an in-depth conversation about how to tackle the issues of today for a bit of tomorrow. It sounds like a kind of cheesy political soundbite.
No.
But it's true. But we all have soundbites, don't we? But you're absolutely right. I mean, I think we agree on many issues. And, you know, if I'm honest, I think that with ability to have that kind of relationship is a very rare thing in politics. Now, you can see that with Alistair Campbell, Rory Stewart, two of their political backgrounds, but there's things they agree on, there's things they disagree on. But again, the public don't really see that side of politics. In fact, what they see is the adversarial nature of politics. But you and I both know politics is about people. But also, Phil, and I have to say this, you know, I've said to you many occasions that what's often lacking is the ability to think big, think long term, think outside the box. And for me, I think that's what Scotland 2050 is about. It's actually going, okay, so where do we want to be? So the Cameron Bank camp's going, right, what do we want to do here? What do we want to tackle?
Well, that's it. And it's also within that trying to find a better way to disagree.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, so often, I mean, it's the news loves it. The news cycles love it. They love the disagreements. They love the back and forth.
They love the punch and Judy politics.
Well, that's it. And that's it. But the reality is, as we know, that so often discussions are happening behind the scenes to actually make things happen. And, I mean, you're right, we can disagree, we can discuss, we can disagree.
I agree.
And it doesn't stop us being mates.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
We can fundamentally disagree on some stuff, but it doesn't stop
us being
mates.
Oh, I'm sure we do.
But too often, I think, when you, certainly now, compared to perhaps not that many years ago, disagreement and political disagreement becomes very personal.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that to me, that feels like it only really fuels those who want to undermine democracy and, dare I say, perhaps press a more populist agenda. That actually, if you can have disagreements respectfully and actually consider that, because somebody's got a different opinion, doesn't automatically make them wrong.
Yeah.
It's just a different opinion.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And if you can have a conversation, perhaps you can find a way to move it forward.
I think you make a good point about the populist agenda, because obviously, not to get too party political just now, but the SNP have often been accused of being a populist party with a populist agenda, and that's maybe one for another podcast session.
But
you're absolutely right.
I would gently
Are you happy
gently,
to disagree with me now?
I would gently say there's a very distinct difference between populist and popular. And
wow, the SNP that's a very good question.
And the SNP have certainly always presented a very popular agenda.
In some respects,
that is a very different thing.
I think populist and popular, that's a really good political way of putting it back, and I think we've just demonstrated how politicians would answer that question, and I think that's why people sometimes switch off when politicians talk about populists being popular. But getting back to Scotland 2050, I think, you know, for us, it's to, you know, we're also looking at creating a conference next year in Edinburgh, where the focus will be on where we want Scotland to be by 2050. This will look at a range of topical issues such as about environment, energy, devolution definitely has to be there, because obviously, you know, it's the elephant in the room. You can't talk about the future of Scotland without looking at the Scottish Parliament. And again, there has been significant debates about should the Scottish Parliament have more powers.
Yep.
And again, that will probably come up at some point. Obviously, you know, you've got the new Labour government, where I'm sure they will be looking at devolution in terms of what can come forward. And again, that's probably for another podcast session and what we could be looking at. But I think for most people, it's something that they'd be interested to know. But again, you know, Scotland 2050 is bringing together the leading figures from the world of business, politics and civic society. It will create an opportunity for sharing innovative ideas, knowledge and understanding to inspire for an enlightened and ambitious future-looking Scotland. I think the key thing is it presents a unique opportunity and platform to start this critical discussion in a way that asks the questions of how do we drive Scotland's future agenda, by considering challenges and opportunities that new thinking can present in a driving change.
I think that's it. I mean, and certainly, I mean, you and I have talked about this actually for many, many years.
Indeed.
In a roundabout way.
Yeah.
But from what I can tell, there's not really any major forum
currently doing this. Not at all.
We need to be recognised. I mean, we've got this global domestic challenges. I think everyone has to accept and recognise that. And Scotland is in an ever-changing landscape at all levels.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that doesn't mean, in fact, maybe that's the advert to say that's exactly why this is the time for new thinking, because we have got this changing landscape. There's an opportunity coming forward for the next SNP government to continue the great work that they've been doing.
So it's good to see we're not being partisan on the first podcast that we're doing at all. And I think, you know, again, challenges and opportunities is the way I'd be looking at it. Because one challenge you could even say an opportunity is that of the 47 US elected President Donald Trump, who has spoke about Scotland. He's got connections to Scotland. I'm not suggesting for a second that we would maybe want him on Scotland 2050.
Why put a limit on our ambition of who we would have? And we are all about having a conversation and sharing different opinions.
Absolutely.
And what more different opinion could you get than the Donald?
The Donald. The D-Sir, I think. I completely agree with that. And again, going back to the Heart of Scotland 2050, it's about kind of sharing that kind of, you know, new thinking, new ideas for a new enlightened Scotland as well. So, yeah.
I think that's it. I mean, you and I have talked, and I mean, the Constitution's a question. We have different opinions on that, and I think it's healthy.
Yeah.
I mean, it's healthy to have that conversation. It demonstrates that the question's not been resolved, I would argue.
Yeah.
But it's good to be able to have the conversation, but it's not the be-all and end-all, because we have a situation where we are today.
Yeah.
And just because there's other questions out there doesn't mean we should stop now considering what we can do today. And I think that's a lot of what we are talking about here. It's we can accept that we've got different views, perhaps about ultimate destination, but that doesn't stop us wanting to make things better along the way.
Not at all. And I think that goes to the heart of Scotland 2050. It's having that discussion, whether I agree with you or you disagree with me. It's having that discussion about where do we want Scotland to be?
Yeah.
You know, placemaking. You know, just look at the issues that we have right now. We've got a housing crisis, NHS crisis. What can we do to resolve that? What can we do by 2050 to be better? And we need to think big. What else can we do? How can we make Scotland the best country, in my opinion, in the world? And how can we make it better? Yeah. What does that look like? And in terms of the kind of devolved parliament, well, that has to be a conversation. We have to think about what we're doing. Are we going to increase the number of MSPs? Are we, you know, in terms of new powers? And that will be a conversation that will come about, and I think you'll find there will be cross-party support in the future. Go, well, we need more powers. What that looks like right now, we don't know, but there's a conversation and a discussion to be had there. But going back to your point about, you know, the ability to debate, it has to be meaningful, respectful, and, you know, I think that's kind of been lacking a wee bit from Scottish politics for a while. I think it's been, you guys say something and the opposition say something else, and, you know, you can understand why people at home switch off, going, here we are, politicians, one says this, other one says that, you know, people go, you're all the same.
And I think that's again, it's hopefully something we can perhaps do through this process. Is I have real worries about some of the disengagement you see happening. I mean, we've seen council by-elections with turnouts at 12%.
Yeah.
I mean, that just, when you look at some of the things that have gone on in recent years, and I'm not attributing that to anyone in particular, it's across the board, there have been issues.
Mm.
The general population understandably get frustrated with what are they doing? And I mean, it's a small number of people who create that situation. Mm. The vast majority just want to get on with it and make things better in whatever way they think they can do it. But actually, there's a major issue about how do we better engage the general population to be engaged in politics. I mean, politics is everything. I mean, the number of people that you and I will meet who say, oh, it's nothing, I'm not interested, it's nothing to do with me. We've all knocked the doors and been told, oh, no, I'm not interested.
Yeah.
But actually, it is everything.
Well, if you think politics, about it, you're absolutely right. You've got the supermarket, you're buying your shopping, that's economy. That's, you know, politics. But I think, you know, you make a really good point about how do we get people more engaged in politics? How do we make it more relevant to them, that they can understand, go, I am going to get engaged, I am going to see what's happening. Otherwise, you know, Holyrood and Westminster just becomes a, you know, a chamber for the theatrics of politics.
And it's a distant thing.
It's not part of them, they don't see it. What they do see is the headlines in the press, in the media, and sometimes, as we all know, that might not be truly reflective of what's been discussed and what can be achieved. So, you know, you make a good point in terms of how we do that. It's a question for all political leaders. I think it's a question for anybody in politics. You know, if you're talking about a very basic doorstep level and people say, no, it's okay, I don't think I'm going to vote yet. Mm. And we had that in the last election. A lot of people say, I'm not too sure. No, the last election, it was a low turnout. UK general election, that is, right? And I think an element of that was people were just not interested. I think, and you could tell me different, but I think we can agree on this, that there was a lot of people who voted just to not have the consensus in power.
I would agree with that.
And, you know, the Labour offer, I would say, was good. But also an incoming government after 14 years and power taking over that and what they've inherited is an absolute challenge. As well.
Again, it's one where we maybe have a further discussion in a future date in more detail. But no, I mean, I think you're absolutely right that the biggest factor in deciding on that election was to change the government.
Yeah,
I think that is something we can absolutely agree on. The reasons for why others might have other things might have happened, there probably is a bit of debate. But there's also what impact within that is social media playing now. Because, I mean, we're still, you and I, we're still very traditional in the way that we have both approached campaigns.
Yeah.
Actually trying to get out there and directly talk to people. Uh-huh. But so much influence now is coming from social media. Well, and that isn't necessarily even from the main parties. You look at the influence Elon Musk has had in America,
absolutely,
for example.
Yeah.
And just that one person with a huge amount of money being able to influence the outcome of an election. Now, I'm not saying they decided it, but you can't argue that they didn't influence it.
It had a big impact. And I think, again, you know, Elon Musk said about he's going to come to the UK and work with Reform to give money. And again, I think Reform from the election was the big story of the election. I mean, a lot of places they came in second, even in Scotland they were getting votes. It's not inconceivable that by 2026 there could be a Reform MSP.
And when you look at some of the...
And that will change Holyrood.
When you look at some of the data around interactions online, they do very, very well.
Yeah.
I mean, the SNP historically had done quite well online through a natural spreading of the message among supporters. But this is a different thing now.
Yeah.
Where this is paid ads play such a key role.
Yep.
And it's big money.
Yeah.
And I have a genuine concern that we've always had politics that has been from the ground up. It's been sort of the sort of activists in your local communities for each of the parties getting out and about in their area, trying to do their bit.
Yeah.
But now big money potentially comes in that overrides all of that. And people access news and in public affairs in very different ways now.
Well, it'd be undermined democracy. I think
that is a worry. And how do we try to play a part in making sure that you have that engagement? Because, again, sadly, online, there's a lot of misinformation.
Mm.
And it's how do you cut through
I was just going to touch base on that, because you did a piece of Scotsman last year about a truth star to social media, and in terms of how you kind of...
It was one of the options that we looked at. But it's how do you give confidence to the population that the news that they are accessing is... genuine. I mean, I think at the time we talked, and I think a lot of the article was based around historically, if it was in the newspapers, and by and large it's still the case, if it's in the newspapers, they've had to go through a process. Or on this traditional TV news, they've got a process for checking and verifying that they have to go through. That doesn't exist online.
Yeah.
And it's genuinely a Wild West.
That's
not me that's coined that. That's others
have
said it.
It's really interesting kind of having this conversation, because I was talking to somebody last week, and they said, not too sure about Labour, look at the budget, the economy's, you know, it's gone back. And, you know, and I maybe sent the person, well, you know, the Labour Party has only been in power since July. You need to give them a bit of time here after what they've inherited, after 14 years of utter economic incompetence and chaos. Big challenges for the Labour Party going ahead. And it's amazing how the media can have such an impact, where people can get the headline and go, oh yeah, I'm not happy with that, but you don't understand. So it goes back to the point of how do you engage, how do you inform. But back to your point about social media, again, with Scotland 2050, this is something we can maybe be touched upon as well. Now you've got Australia, I think it's Australia, who are saying they're going to potentially is it ban social media for under 16 year olds?
Yeah, although how you do that, I don't know.
I was going to say, how do you police that? How do you do that?
Yeah.
Is that even practical? Yeah. I mean,
In an ideal world, the social media platforms would actually be engaging and trying to work with government to find a way to manage some of this stuff. But some have not proven to be particularly keen on that from some of the efforts that were made over the last number of years. Because, there was a report back in... it might have been 2021. It was Oxford, one of the schools in Oxford, published a report on cyber troops and the industrial scale disinformation that's been put out there, and it coins this phrase cyber troops, where at the state level, cyber activists are deployed to undermine the message in other nations, and it's actually quite terrifying when you dig into it to see the level that this is played out to try and undermine other democracies, and we'd know who the key players, and that would naturally be in the reports, very clear on that, and I'd recommend it to anyone for interest. But it's one of these things where that's why it's even more important to have something in place where you can actually have that genuine verification on
fact-checking.
Is this statement that's being put out there right? I mean, that's before you even start to get into some of the really scary stuff that the AI can do with deepfakes and such.
Well, again, I mean, that's something for Scotland 2050, and, you know, something to think about. What role does that play in, and you know, what do we have to do to overcome that? Because it is incredibly scary. It's something we should all be thinking about.
I think what's clear from all of this, there's a lot for us to be talking about in the weeks and months ahead.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, again, that platform is Scotland 2050, where we can have those conversations, we can have those panel sessions. So if anybody's interested in Scotland 2050, please feel free to drop us an email on hello@scotland2050.co.uk, and we will answer any questions you have about what we are doing. And if you'd like to get involved, or if you'd like to sponsor any of the key panel sessions, we'd be delighted to hear from you on that.
So we've done today.
Yep.
This is the launch.
This is the punch.
This is it. This is episode one of the podcast, launch of the conference. How often are we going to do this? I mean, this is good. I like this. I like the conversation. It's good to have the back and forth.
It's good to have a chat. Yeah.
How often are we going to do this? Because we need to tell our listeners.
Absolutely. So I would say minimum twice a month, I think. And the more listeners we get, if people are listening, then we'll do more.
Yeah. So what to do? Make sure you're telling us what you want us to be talking about.
Absolutely.
If you want to come and talk to us, let us know.
Yeah, we could just have a wipe at some point. Get people to call in, give questions, have that discussion, be part of the discussion, be part of the conversation about shaping Scotland 2050, and tell us what you'd like to see happen in Scotland. It's your country, we want to hear your voice.
It's about all of us. It's not just, this isn't just me and Barry.
No, not at all,
It's about all of us.
It's about every single person in this country having to say everybody has an idea of what they want to see happen in Scotland, and we want to hear from you about what you think that looks like. So again, do drop us an email on hello@scotland2050.co.uk, and we will answer your questions as best as we can.
But for now, thanks for listening.
Catch you next podcast.